Thank you. We will call to order the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services for April 23rd, 2009. Apologies for the delay in getting going here. Quite a lot happening in this building in the right at this particular moment in time. We will now open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2460. Where are we on this bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we are on the third hearing now. House Bill 2460 expands the Emergency Medical Technician EMT tax credit when the individual provides emergency response service to counties with a population of 75,000 or at least 25 miles from any city with a population of 30,000 or more. It takes effect on 91st day following adjournment sine die. We do have a dash 4 amendment that basically merged the 3 into the 4, adding that sunset clause to 2016 that we have before us, and then previously the dash 3 related to the geography that we've been talking about. We do have a revenue statement that's been issued before us.
But we do not have a fiscal.
Correction, we do have a minimal expenditure impact on the fiscal.
On the fiscal also.
Yes,
okay.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you there.
And we did have a work group that was chaired here by Representative Freeman, and they did sort of discuss the details of this in terms of where they wanted to go with this. And so we do have that information before us as well.
Representative Freeman, would you like to bring us up to date here?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't chair the meeting, but we did have it in my office. Representative Edwards was there, along with Representative Maurer and Representative Widener, myself, and then I took the information to Representative Boone, who was unable to make the meeting. We had some discussion about the part of the bill that we were considering raising the tax credit from $250 up to $500, and the consensus of the group was that in this economic time, maintaining the program as it is probably the best thing. We did put the six-year sunset on that Representative Riley had discussed, and added the size of the city to 40,000 instead of 30,000, which would include just a small areas that are rural areas, but for the 30,000 number were not included before. So I believe we're where everybody agreed to be on it and is ready to move forward.
Thank you. So the work group's recommendation then is the dash 4 amendment.
Correct. If I wasn't clear, that's what I meant to say.
Well, I'm probably just affirming that I heard things right. So, all righty. We have Chuck Coleman here who'd like to talk about this. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Chuck Coleman, paramedic times 25 years, recently retired, that's the key word, but not dead. Still a volunteer down in Lake County at North Lake County EMS. And I think I emailed most of you a big long list of stuff, so I'm not going to reiterate that. Anyhow, I want to talk about this tax credit. Currently, I do most of the training down there. They're lucky to get the number of hours that they need. For the people down there, it's often two and a half hours to bend on a reasonable day to get any kind of continuing medical education. The average transport time for them is 6 hours on a good day, and sometimes during the winter, you're lucky if you can get the person to the hospital on the same day. You know, you'll get a call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're lucky to get to Bend by 3 in the morning because of the bad weather. There's times when you have people out walking along the road trying to find the fog line, because if you don't, you're going to end up in the desert somewhere. So it's pretty difficult down there as far as EMS goes. Getting continuing education is a huge, huge issue. I'm going to be going down there next week, and I'm going to be teaching for a whole week because certification time is up and they do not have enough hours. If we don't get them recertified, we will lose 50% of our EMTs. The Downside of that, of course, is that if somebody calls 911, nobody's going to show up. Right now, there's times when dispatch has to tone us out sometimes three or four times to get a crew, because some people go, you know, I just got back from a call. It's like I have to go to work. I missed yesterday. The people down there just don't have a lot of money. They can't afford to miss work. Employers, very supportive, but at the same time, they've got a business to run, and if they're a key player in the business, they would prefer to have them there. So a lot of times they just go, well, I'll wait and wait and wait. And then finally nobody else shows and they say, okay, I'll go. So they get up, they run the call, they come home. A lot of times their wives and mothers. I get a little emotional because these are heroes. I just go down there on my vacation. So anyhow, but they get their kids off to school, and then they go to work, and they haven't slept for 12 hours. And the mobile training unit is probably being canceled by the state of Oregon. They depended on that to get a lot of their training. The mobile training unit would come down, and they would do, like, you know, 6 or 8 hour classes and stuff, and then they would leave. But that is on the chopping block. I am probably going to take over that. You know, it's a lot of work. I go down there on vacation. I don't really, but I still volunteer. But I would prefer to go down there and not run calls. But I realize they need me, and I'm willing to, you know, give my services. So the state is also increasing the CME hours. They are going from, for the intermediate, from 14 hours to 32 hours. Huge jump. For the paramedic, it's going to be also almost impossible to keep that up. We're looking, I used to do 24 hours a year, and when I was working, it was no big deal because I would go to so many in-services and so many this and that. It was, you know, it's just, I never even thought about it. Now, at this point, they're going to increase it to 48 hours. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do 48 hours? And that's going to be a tough one for me, because a lot of times classes are only 2 or 3 hours. And so I'm going to end up driving 2.5 hours one way to Bend or whatever for 2 to 3 hours worth of classes, and then have to drive back. And I'm going to have to do that for a total of 48 hours. So it's a considerable expense and a lot of time. I've looked into a lot of these areas because I started out my career as a volunteer. I was the first paramedic in Hood River County back when paramedics weren't real popular. I mean, it was, you know, kind of a new thing. And so I'm very familiar with rural areas, and I've worked a lot in rural areas when I was working for AMR. We would go out into the rural areas and cover events, you know, like Cycle Oregon was a big one. And so I know what it's like out there. And getting your continuing medical education is difficult. They have no broadband. You know, out Christmas Valley, broadband is 32K on a modem. That's, you know, we call that broadband, because most people get 24 or 18, you know. And, I mean, that's, you know, it's almost like, you know, clay tablets. It doesn't get much slower than that. And most people don't even waste their time, because it's just so painfully slow. And then you get drop connections and everything else. So satellite has way too much latency involved, so you can't do video conferencing, things like that. My hope is that somewhere along the line there was some money to increase the infrastructure out there, which would obviously solve the problem. But right now I guess I'm just here. Scott kind of wrangled me to come down here and talk about it, but to retain the tax credit. And not only that, but I would like to see it increased at least 250, at least 250 for EMTs. Because of the increased CME demands for the intermediates, I'd like to see it 500. For paramedics, I'd like to see it 1,000. If you want to narrow that down to, a good example would be say, frontier areas? Because we are definitely frontier. We go beyond rural.
Mr. Coleman, I appreciate your passion, and we have talked about it, but we do kind of need to narrow the testimony to the bill we have in front
okay,
of us.
Okay. So. Well, isn't that what the bill's about?
Yeah, it is a, and the amendments before us are to continue the 250.
Okay, right. Okay.
And
all right.
I guess probably I should just help you out with the, we're at the point in the deliberations in this session that we have to finalize this bill today, and we can't come back with any more amendments.
Okay, I understand.
We won't have time to work it. So I just thought I'd help you. It's a great idea.
I'll come back next year.
This is as far as we can go at this moment.
Okay. So. And the thing is that retention is a big issue. Getting them trained is very, very difficult because a lot of times you don't have skilled instructors out there. Usually it's just somebody who's been an EMT for a while, and it's a fairly inbred system because nobody goes to Christmas Valley or to these frontier or rural areas to practice medicine. They all get their EMT and then they're gone. You know, they go into the big city and get jobs, firefighters or whatever, you know. And so retention is difficult. And we need every incentive that we can to keep these people because once they're gone, the cost to get a replacement is significant. It's significant. A lot of time and energy. It's about 140 hours for an EMT, and it's probably about 350 for an intermediate, and it's a two-year degree for a paramedic. You don't get paramedics out there that stay for long because if they're going to invest 2 years, they're doing it as a career, they're gone. And so once you lose these people, they're not going to come back, and you're looking at a year, maybe 2 years, to try and rebuild. And so we can't afford to lose this because it's not going to be an instant fix if you decide to say, gee, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Let's go back and get these people back. You're looking at a two-year lag time. So
okay.
I thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I think you guys all have my email. If you want to hear more, I will tell you. Thank you.
I'm sure you would. Thank you. Thank you for coming, and I apologize for shortening your testimony a bit. We have had quite a bit of testimony on this bill, and just for your reference, most of us have a relationship with the emergency services programs and provisions, and we have a deep-seated empathy for what you were hearing from you. I didn't keep him at the table long enough, but I'm sure he'd come back if there's any questions for Mr. Coleman.
Not a question. Been? Thank you, Madam Chair.
We are not yet in work session, but we will be.
Right.
But, okay.
Just wanted to thank you for all you've done and all you do and will continue to do, and I doubt very much, even though you're retired, that you will really be retired.
That's right.
And when you're down there, you'll go to calls, too.
That's right.
But thank you for doing that. It's very important.
Representative Matthews?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just like to welcome you to the Capitol Building. Chuck and I ran a lot of calls together out in Gresham, and he provided outstanding services as a medic with AMR. And nice to see you enjoying retirement. Wish you well, and thanks for staying involved and your dedication and commitment to emergency medical services.
Am I looking older?
No, you look great. You look great.
Thank you. Seeing no further folks signed up to testimony to testify, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2460 and open a work session on House Bill 2460. With the recommendation from the work group that we move the dash 4 amendments. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the dash 4 amendments be adopted for House Bill 2460, dated 3309.
Thank you. Representative Freeman moves the approval of the dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2460. Is there any further discussion?
Just a quick comment.
Okay.
We had in-depth discussions about trying to move the amount up to $500 and just really struggled with the budget and whatnot we're dealing with now. So I would hope that in better times we would relook at this.
Thank you. All right. I'm sure that is the sentiment of the committee. We would probably have lost the whole bill if we had tried to put that kind of a fiscal on it at this point. With that, we have a motion before us to approve the dash 4 amendments. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the dash four are approved. And this bill will have a subsequent referral to revenue, but we are clear as far as the fiscal as well. Is that
yes.
correct? Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Freeman?
I would move to adopt House Bill 2460 as amended with a referral to revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Freeman moves a due pass recommendation for House Bill 2460 as amended with the previously mentioned subsequent referral to revenue. Any further discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, let's go ahead and call the roll. That would probably be a good idea.
Aye.
Representative
Bell?
Aye.
Representative
Conn?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Wagner?
Excused.
Vice Chair
Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Cowling?
Aye. House Bill 2460, as amended, having received the required majority, is moved to revenue with a due pass recommendation. Thank you for your work on this. We will open a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 21, which was carried forward. Representative Askaville, would you like to address this? Do you want to go down to the front? Or?
No, there's all the fans out there, you know.
All right, well then then we'll make you just kind of collect your thoughts while I allow...
It's awful crowded out there, Madam Chair.
Let me allow Mr. Molina to bring us up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 21 urges the United States Congress to change the funding mechanism of veterans' health care from discretionary entitlement to permanent and direct entitlements in order to provide predictability and reliability for VA officials to plan their spending for the coming year. There are no amendments to this. We show no revenue or fiscal impact on HGM 21. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Escobill.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I believe one of my colleagues presented this very well Tuesday. I was ill, unfortunately. But it's time that the United States government needs to take care of people that they send in harm's way. They need to adequately fund these people. They need to do it to the point of where there is no discretionary, there is an earmarked fund and a continuing funding. If we're going to send our young men and women into war, we sure better be able to be prepared to take care of them when they come home. We have not done this in this country. We have done an abysmally poor job with funding our VA consistently. And I hope that our congressional delegates, even though I didn't necessarily receive a good reception on this, talking to some, that we're doing something different at this point. Well, different is different, but if you earmark funds and make it a fund that you will continually use in a base and raise it accordingly, maybe then we'd think twice about putting our young people in harm's way at a drop of a hat. I would hope that our federal government would do what's right for the veterans of not only the state of Oregon, but in the United States itself. The things that have come up in this committee, I think, astound each and every one of us with some of the things that the federal government does, but more importantly, doesn't do. Example, we shouldn't be talking about transportation from rural areas. We should be talking about sending them down to the local clinic and letting them get them taken care of. When they were recruited, it wasn't a situation of where you live in rural Oregon, so therefore that's different. It was, we'd be glad to have you. Okay, if you're glad to have these people, then you better be glad to take care of them and happy to take care of them. And hopefully this will bring their attention to bear on the fact that it's discretionary funding, it is not direct and solid funding for our veterans. And folks, our veterans deserve more than that.
Thank you. Representative, I don't disagree with you in the slightest, but I think it would be fair to put on the record that even if the funding process were changed from discretionary to permanent and direct, at the current rate of federal payments for veterans services, we will continue to have access difficulties in our communities unless the federal government also recognizes the adequate reimbursement for those services.
Don't dispute that. Just
an opinion that needs to be thrown in.
And Madam Chair,
if you'll indulge me,
I explained a situation, I believe, in front of this committee that I'm a number 2 diabetic from Agent Orange, and they were going to give me strips, but they were only going to give me strips for every other day because I was only a number 2 diabetic, so therefore I shouldn't be checking my sugar but every other day. Now, when you have that mentality, we have a problem in this country.
Madam Chair.
I try not to get too involved, and I get crazy about education and all these things, but last summer I had the opportunity to be at a task force about education, but yet I was sitting in downtown New Orleans, and at breakfast I watched a train, and I was struck because I started counting. Car after car after car on this train was equipment for going to war. It was Jeeps, all kinds of things, that it was real clear this was a part of a shipment that was going to go to our soldiers in our war. And I sat there and I finally gave up counting because I was so dismayed. Because I thought, again, about how we don't prepare for our soldiers when they come home. Right. If we had carload of support for them when they come home, I think our nation would stand in, I don't know, at ease, at rest, better than we are now.
Thank you. I will close the public hearing on HJM 21 and open a work session on HJM 21. This has no referral, and Mr. Molina, we have all the appropriate...
Yes, Madam Chair.
This is the paper that
yes,
we have
Madam
to
Chair.
Have? Okay, then. Representative
Madam Chair, I move House Joint Memorial 21 to the House floor with a deep pass recommendation.
Representative Escoffel moves House Joint Memorial 21 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Bradley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make a brief comment. This is about time that we do this. As I said, you know, last time we met, this is atrocious that we don't care enough about our veterans to make this a permanent expenditure. That it is not a discretionary expenditure, and it should not be treated that way.
Thank you. With that, I will clarify what I just said. We have before us a motion to move HJM 21 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there all in, let me have you go ahead and call for the vote, please.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative
Escobar?
Aye.
Representative
Kong?
Aye.
Representative
Moreno? Aye.
Representative
Weiner?
Aye.
Excuse.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Cowan?
Aye. Having received the required majority, HJM 21 is referred to the floor with a to-be-adopted recommendation. There's a number of people here. Representative Esquivel, would you like to carry that, and you can invite some of the others to join you as co-sponsors if you so desire. How would that be?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would love to have Representative Riley co-sponsor, carry this to the floor with me if he would.
Thank you. Representative Esquivel.
And by the way, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank you very much for hearing this, but more importantly, I'd like to thank everyone that supports this because I think it's about time.
Thank you. With that, committee, I believe that I will close the work session and on House Joint Memorial 21. I believe we have completed our activity on House bills for this session. We have no more pending in this committee. So I am going to recommend that we cancel next Tuesday's committee meeting. I think there's enough other committees frantically trying to finish up, and I know people's responsibilities are
Tuesday.
Gone, so there will not be a meeting on whatever that is, April 27th, 28th, something like that. Next Tuesday.
Next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday. And we will get an agenda posted for the following Thursday. Thank you all. The meeting is adjourned.
Good job.